Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre. Well, as we continue the noble fight to address climate change and build a better world, it's sometimes good to understand new events by looking at the perspective of things that have gone before. In the climate movement now, there's a fair history of things that have gone before, each building on the other. These are movements driven by the passion of the people involved, people who care, that address aspects of the climate problem that aren't always immediately apparent. I mean, you can think of one to begin with, sparked by Bill McKibben, which is the divestment movement, which started out as a kind of a symbolic effort, but has, over the course of time, become a real powerful economic indicator, an economic thing, as more and more countries and big businesses realize the value in divestment. That all began because of Bill McKibben and the people who drove the divestment campaign. I mean, look, they're still in Harvard Yard demanding that Harvard divest. Other things that have happened that have bubbled up out of the passion of the people involved are things like the pipeline fights. We all know the Dakota Access Pipeline, TXL Pipeline, the XL Pipeline coming down through Canada. And now there are pipeline fighters in every state in the union. I mean, almost every pipeline is being opposed by local grassroots movements. Again, more than we can document here, but that's really grown up in the last several years from the kind of personal commitment of the people involved. Over the last year, we've seen the Sunrise Movement. So a couple of shows ago, we went to the Sunrise Movement Green New Deal Roadshow. We talked to one of the activists from the Sunrise Movement. It's not spontaneous. I mean, it's certainly within a culture of making these efforts, but it is an effort driven at the grassroots to make a bona fide effort to address climate change, the Sunrise Movement. In the same way, we've seen the Greta Thunberg, however you pronounce her last name. She is this marvelous young woman, high schooler, who has begun to start school strikes, high school kids going out on strike to address climate change. And that has blossomed into a worldwide movement, again, without a lot of direction, without a lot of top-down command, but based on people's passion. So that brings us to a more recent episode in this whole thing, and it's something called the Extinction Rebellion. So the Extinction Rebellion is something that began in London, or in England, and it is essentially a large, nonviolent effort to get the government to pay attention. The government of England is where it began. And over the last few days, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but in the climate Twitter world, it turns out that the Extinction Rebellion has basically had things where everyone goes in front of Big Ben and sits down in the roadway. Now, if you've ever been to London, you know that that's a pretty busy intersection. They've gone to the Marble Arch, which is a great big park, and they all just sit in the roadway nonviolently, and they went into the City of London, the famous quotation mark City of London, the financial district, and basically stopped traffic there for days on end. And they have gotten a good reaction. In England, there is more sympathy. I guess it turns out this Jeremy Corbyn guy is looking, he's the Labour guy. He's trying to get the Conservatives to declare a climate emergency in England. despite all the Brexit craziness. Up in Scotland, I guess the Prime Minister is moving to declare a climate emergency, which is one of the goals of the Extinction Rebellion. I saw a report of people going into a museum in Sweden, and on cue, everyone does a die-in and just lays down on the floor for 10 minutes, disrupts things, and then gets up and peacefully walks away. How interesting. So the Extinction Rebellion is an interesting idea because it's driven by people willing to put themselves on the line, many of them willing to be arrested in order to make the government pay attention. If you go to Extinction Rebellion, the website, I read, it says, our demands describes itself as saying the Extinction Rebellion is an international apolitical network using nonviolent direct action to persuade governments to act on the climate and ecological emergency. And they have three demands in the United Kingdom. One is to tell the truth, that the government must tell the truth by declaring a climate and ecological emergency. The second is that they must act now. The government must act now to halt biodiversity loss and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And finally, this is interesting, say the government must create and be led by the decisions of a citizens' assembly on climate and ecological justice, which is interesting. Sounds a lot like the French Revolution, but there you go. A citizens' assembly on climate and ecological justice. So Extinction Rebellion is going great guns in the United Kingdom, and of course it would slowly migrate here to the United States. At the local environmental conference, the 2019 local environmental conference, I caught up with one of the U.S. members of the Extinction Rebellion group, not a leader or anything, but just someone who was at the conference and wanted to talk. So I thought you'd be interested to hear that. So here we go.
So you don't get too much booming noise.
Okay.
So we're at the MCAN conference. I'm talking with Amanda Nash, who is a member of the Extinction Rebellion here in Massachusetts. So tell me the story. Of course, Extinction Rebellion is going on in London. There's a big European movement. So what's the story of the Extinction Rebellion here?
Well, the London group is our mothership, of course, and we're modeling ourselves after them. We're in close contact with them, not me personally, but others. And the idea is to, basically the Greta Thunberg idea of panic. It's time to panic now. The house is on fire. And we basically focus on media and the government and try to get them to take more seriously the problem, to address it, to publicize it, to recognize the severity of the climate emergency.
So I know that in London they have shut down the central part of London with civil disobedience.
Shut down five bridges, I believe.
Is that something you're considering? Not that you have to have plans right now, but is that in the repertoire of things you might think about?
Definitely, for sure. I mean, we tried to do it last week. They wouldn't take us. Last week was our first action on the 18th, 17th. We met at the old State House on Congress and State Street. We had an action there. We had speakers. We had a wonderful band, the Second Line Social Aid and Pleasure Society Brass Band, one of the honk bands. And then we paraded into the Globe Building, raised a huge ruckus, which was super fun, I have to say. I mean, they have a huge, beautiful atrium there, and we were really loud with the band. They tried to keep the band out. The band turned around, and then they came back in, and we were all really elated when they got in. So we made a lot of noise, and we had some speeches, and we made some demands of the Globe to basically take the climate emergency more seriously. And then we went out in the street, and we blocked the street. We blocked State Street, and the cops came, and they said, we're not going to arrest you for blocking the street. And we were like, oh, all right. So we stood there for a while. We sang, we chanted. And then we thought, well, what if we blocked Congress Street, which is a huge street? So we blocked Congress Street. They still wouldn't take us. So we were like, all right, well, we may need another plan for the future. I mean, it's not, the idea is not to get arrested, but the idea is to get the press that you get when you get arrested. What the thing that surprised me the most, though, was when we blocked Congress Street, it was backed up for at least an hour, and nobody got mad. In fact, we were talking to people in the cars, and they were like, yeah, we get it. They did. I mean, it was very surprising to me. It was great.
So, as this nascent movement here in the U.S. grows, what, is there a website? I mean, how can people learn more about
it? Well, there's the Extinction Rebellion website. You can just Google it. I think there's also extinctionrebellion.us, and that's the whole U.S., and then you go down and you find your local one.
So you guys are under the U.S. heading, and you have to drill in to get to the...
It's the opening page. You go down to the bottom.
It says Boston. There is a Western Mass one, too, but they haven't had any actions yet, but I think they're planning.
That's fantastic.
Well, it's great.
Thank you very much for taking the time to chat. That's great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Hope we'll see you out in the streets there.
So there you have it. The Extinction Rebellion U.S. has principles. They have 10 of them. I won't read all 10 principles, but the first is a shared vision of a world fit for generations to come. They want to mobilize the 3.5% of us necessary to achieve change. That is to say, you don't need everybody. You get 3.5% of the people going, you're on your way. They want to create a regenerative culture. They welcome everyone to actively create safe, accessible spaces. They have no hierarchies of power. They use nonviolent strategies. And anyone who follows these principles can take part. And, of course, they have the demands at call to action similar to the British counterparts. The media and government must tell the truth. They must act quickly. Here we say the transition must be just. We realize that's an exceedingly important aspect of all of this. And they also call for a democratic national citizens assembly to oversee the changes above. Anyway. Extinction Rebellion. I think the thing that interests me about the Extinction Rebellion is that it is one more of the many battlefronts. MCAN typically works in cities and towns in much more focused and constructive, not the right word, but to try and pass town warrants and things. We know the Sunrise Movement is rallying for the Green New Deal. There are legal people fighting the public trust cases and the cases against Exxon. And the Extinction Movement is one more battle. There's plenty of places for people to jump on board and find a way to address climate change. Trust me, it's satisfying. I hope you'll do it. So we'll close where we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan, using regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our collective future. Anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.